It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Excited to talk to you guys. I can't think of a time since the Monday after the Super Bowl that I've been this excited to discuss this topic. We are going to skip all the pleasantries. We don't have any pizza to give away. I want to start with an analogy. And this analogy doesn't have to be a relationship analogy. It can just be a regular friendship analogy. I'm sure you have had this person in your life. It has been a beautiful 85 degree day. Man, the weather is perfect. The wind is hitting just right. You got a half day at work. You just came from happy hour. You had a nice little pina colada frozen, of course. You're feeling good. There's always one person that just finds something wrong with a beautiful day that you have had. Maybe you have been in a relationship with this individual. Man, you had an amazing day. You just got a raise at work. You know, you kind of looked at yourself in the mirror. The haircut was hitting right. You've been working out a little bit so you can see the progress you've been making. And now you got to come home to this person who her number one objective is to find something wrong with you. I want you to free yourself from that person, whether it's that coworker. I want you to free yourself from that terrible relationship. I just want you to live free. Why I'm so excited is there are two kinds of Royals fans today. I only am interested in talking to one of them. Some of you are in the other camp, and I see the text line, and of course, we'll read it because I kind of have to. That's the job. There is one side of the coin. The Royals just finished the best series that they have had in almost a decade. That is not up for debate. That is not in question about the Royals. The Royals today, with the loss, just concluded the most positive 72 hours they have had in 9 years. No, it was not perfect. They didn't get an A+. They didn't get 100% on the quiz. They got a 95% on the quiz. I am not interested in people who are focused on the one question you got wrong on the quiz and not the 24 questions that you got right on the quiz to get the A. If I had polled any of you a week ago and said that the Royals are going to Cleveland, we wouldn't even got to go back a week. We can go after they got thumped by the Philadelphia Phillies. Some of you were at that game on Saturday and Sunday when they got beat around. If I had told you that they were going to take 3 of 4 against the Cleveland Guardians, and I didn't tell you the order of the wins, I didn't tell you when they lost, I just said very simply, the Royals are going to win 3 of the next 4 games. Every single person listening would have considered that to be a positive. They left Cleveland in a far better situation than when they arrived. Not just in the division, but also in the wild card race. Over the course of the last 3 days, they have gained ground on Cleveland and continue to distance themselves from the Seattle Mariners and the Boston Red Sox. I am only interested in talking to the people who are focused on the 95% of what the Royals just accomplished. Some of you are focused on the 5%. I see it in the text line. Let me ask you this, and this question comes from an honest place. And I am open to taking phone calls. If you want to talk Royals today, I'm not that interested in talking about Bailey Zappe, who may never play for the Kansas City Chiefs, or Samaje Perine, who is going to rush for 160 yards over 17 weeks. I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point. That ain't really blowing my skirt up. 913-586-7965. The Royals lost today, yes. The Royals bullpen let them down today. Ain't that what we've been talking about for the last 2 months with this team? We're talking about a bullpen that's been overworked. A bullpen that before, earlier today, had given up one run in 15 innings. We're talking about that team? That's what you want me to be all mad about, hot and bothered about? Coming off the best series that they've had since they won the World Series? I can't do it. Today was not perfect today for the Royals. The last 3 days, it has been the best that it's been to be a Royals fan in 9 years. They leave Cleveland one game back. They play Cleveland at home on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And that same 5% is going to figure out ways to not go watch them next week. Oh, I mean, football's right around the corner. I mean, you can't expect me to go to both. I mean, we know. Stop listening to the 5% Royals fans. They bring you down with their gosh darn negativity. I'm sick of it. We only do this to the Royals. We don't treat the Chiefs this way, and I understand why. We don't treat KU this way, whether it's football or basketball. We don't treat Mizzou. We don't treat K-State like this. We only treat the Royals this way. It was 100% sunny for 95% of the day. It rained for a little bit, and now you want to cancel the party. Stop it. There's two groups of people. There's people that see the cup as glass half full. It's not even half full. It's three quarters full. And people who see it as half empty. I don't have it in me today to talk to the people that have it at half empty. For what we know, their bullpen, this is not 2014 and 2015. Every time that the Royals are in this late inning situation, they are not going to bat 1,000. They have one competent relief pitcher that we trust on a game-in, game-out basis. He let him down today. They kept Michael Walker in probably a little bit longer than they should. Once he started to get in trouble, they took him out for the one person that we all like, and they lost today. That's fine. What did Aaliyah say? I want you to try again. Dust yourself off. That's it. It's baseball. Come back tomorrow. Who they got? Houston? They got Houston for four. And then next week, they have six games against the two best teams in their division. The Royals can be two games up in the division by kickoff of the NFL season. What is there to complain about? What is there to be unhappy about? Maybe I'm only speaking to the 5%, but Rob, you are looking at the same text line that I'm looking at. I don't know how you can't be anything than overwhelmingly positive that we are heading into Labor Day weekend and the Royals right now to win their division are at 2-1. And if we are talking just straight up head-to-head, they are better than Cleveland. That's the only team they need to be better than. They do not need to be better than Baltimore. They don't need to be better than the Yankees. They need to be better than Cleveland. They've played them 10 times. They've won 7 of the games. Go ahead, Rob.
Me and you are on the same page here. I heard this stat during Vern's postgame show. He's been referring to this 20-game stretch where the Royals have in this, you know, gauntlet as the Riptide. And he said this during the postgame show. He said, if I had told any Royals fan a week ago that they'd be 7 games into the Riptide, as he calls it, and they would have had one quality start, you probably don't think the Royals are 4-3 in that stretch. You probably think, uh-oh, the Royals are chewing on their fingernails, and can they hold off the Red Sox? You probably would have thought if they only had one quality start in 7 games, the division's dead. And we're talking about, you know, gripping and hoping against hope you keep that third wild card spot. But despite having starting pitching issues over the last 7 games, the Royals have started the Riptide with a winning record, including 3 of 4, which I remember Ned Yost, when he was in town, always said, man, oh man, winning 4-game series is difficult. They did that on the road against a first place team, and they are now heading on the road to take on Houston. There are flaws with this team, and we can talk about them. We can acknowledge them. And today is a gut punch. It was a winnable game. You were up 5-2. That's sports, though. It's just life sometimes. But it's just not sports. It's baseball. But on the whole, with 13 games left in the, quote, Riptide, you start out 4-3, and you're a game back in the division? And by the way, the Red Sox are in the distant rearview mirror. You feel like you're a postseason team, and this is now a test. That has to be viewed positively.
Text line 913-586-7965. Again, maybe this rant that I'm on is only directed at a small group of individuals, and that's fine. I can live with that. I hope that no one is confusing that I am very excited about the Royals. Very excited. The Royals were 9 games back of the division this season. They were 9 games back. They're 1 game back with, what is it, Rob, 28 to play. There is really only one question left for the Royals. Yes, we can talk about the bullpen. We can talk about Seth Lugo. There's other questions, right? Like, I don't want to make it seem like there aren't subplots. Can the Royals be 1 game better than Cleveland for the next 3.5 weeks? If the Royals are 1 game better than Cleveland, and that 1 game they can make up by playing Cleveland next week, if the Royals are 1 game better than Cleveland over the next 3.5 weeks, they are going to host playoff games and could possibly have the second best record in the American League. All of these things are possible. All they need to do is be 1 game better than Cleveland over the next 28 games. That's it. It's that simple. So on the text line, CDOT, I want them to keep pushing to get the 1 seed in the American League. Of course. Obviously. That's what we all want. The 1 seed is within grasp. I don't think they're going to get it, but it's not. At this point, anything is possible with the Royals. Anything is possible. They could be the 1 seed. They could win the division. They could narrowly miss winning the division and be a wild card team that no one will want to play. You guys love that term, house money. Tell me a team right now in baseball that's playing with more house money than the 2023 56-win Kansas City Royals. With Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha in their rotation. You give me Houston is not playing with house money. The Boston Red Sox are not playing for house money against the Royals. The Orioles are not playing for house money after they were the 1 seed last year in the postseason and got bounced out in round one. The Yankees don't even know what house money is. The Dodgers are not playing for it. For a team that you feel is 100, I won't say 100%, they are 90% certain of making the postseason. Tell me a team that feels like they have more house money and feels like they are the most dangerous team to play outside of the one that they currently have.
I also think it's of note with this series. if the Royals had faced the Guardians and this week was the playoff series, the wild card series, the Royals would have swept them. The Royals would have taken all three. The Royals, this was the ALDS, would be up 3-1 against a team that is a playoff team. The Guardians are a playoff team. And what's been the one knock we've heard all season from the haters, Carrington? Well, they're not good against teams over 500. Well, they're 4-3 in this stretch over against teams against 500, including 3-4. Against, and if you do 3-4 in a playoff
against
series.
Against the one team they need to be better than.
If you do that in any playoff series, you're winning the playoff series, period. Yeah. End of discussion.
Yeah, like this text. Again, maybe I'm just screaming to the 1%. That's fine. I don't have anything else to do today. 913-586-7965. C-Dot, I guess you're happy losing winnable games. Good luck in life. Let's read another text.
I mean this quick. I know you want to read another text, but real quick. Is there any team in sports that goes undefeated in winnable games? Even the Chiefs. Let's look at last year's winnable Chiefs games. They were not undefeated in winnable games. It happens. It's sports.
The only thing that the Royals did wrong was they lost the last game of the series. We wouldn't be having this conversation if the Royals had lost the second game of the series. If the Royals had won the first game of the doubleheader, lost the second, and then won the last two of the doubleheader, text line would be through the moon right now about the Royals. But the ending sucked. So now the whole movie was bad. Text line 913-586-7610. I'm going through these texts, and it's just... C-Dot, it's not that they lost, it's how they lost. The sweep was right there for the taking, and they peed down their leg. First place was on the line, and they failed. The Royals have made up 8 games in the last 5 weeks. 8. They failed? They play Cleveland next week. I know you guys don't go to games. I promise you they play Cleveland next week. You can go. Trust me, plenty of tickets are available. The same team they lost to that they're 7-3 against, they play them next week. They can make the game up. They can get it back. It has happened before. They can get it back. Hey, you know how they struggled against Minnesota? They also play them next week. At the same stadium. It's in the same location it's been at since 1972. You know where it is. Let's go to the phone lines. I hope Jessica has a rosy outlook on life. How are you doing, Jessica?
I do. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I was going to say that I remember back in April when we were in a good position and everybody was saying... All the naysayers were saying, talk to us in June. Talk to us in June and see how they're doing then. And now it's almost September, and we're still in the conversation, which I don't think anybody totally expected. So, again, I just want to reiterate that I'm very happy with where we're at. And secondly, I mean, the season isn't over. Like, I know they have a busy schedule ahead, but there's still – coaching staff and there's still like opportunities for growth where I'm sure they can identify the weaknesses and coach them through those, you know? That's what they have.
Jessica, I'm with you. I'm going to put you on hold. We have a pizza to give away today. I'm just going to give it to you because you seem like a kind individual. Oh, you can have it.
Thank you.
I love your outlook. You can have it, Jessica. Someone said I gave the wrong text line number. I'm sorry. 913-586-7965. I apologize. That's my fault. We can talk about the Chiefs. Some of you are saying, let's talk football. I'm always down to talk football. I'm sorry I've gotten so worked up about it. It just, we only do this with the Royals. We don't. I'm not telling you that the Royals are perfect. They obviously are not perfect. I don't know how... You can watch the Royals this week, and for a team that is 75-59, I don't know how today, on a beautiful day outside, how we can poke holes in what they've accomplished so far when they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They took 3 of 4 from Cleveland. That's the second time this season that they've done that. We looked this up. We were actually going to do this. Maybe it's my fault because I was starting to prepare that they were going to win the game, and it's my fault. You know the last time that the Royals won all 4 games in Cleveland? Tell them when it was, Rob.
It would have been in June of 1973.
June of 1973. Denny Matthews was a young whippersnapper the last time that this happened. That's what it was. He was a young whippersnapper. Denny Matthews was like 35 when this happened. And you guys want me to be mad that they didn't win all 4 of the games? I can do it. Coming up, we're going to take your phone calls. We will talk a tiny bit of Chiefs. I don't have it in me to I don't care about Bailey Zappe. If Bailey Zappe plays for the Chiefs, they have either clinched the 1 seed or something has terribly gone wrong for the Kansas City Chiefs. There's really no in between. If Bailey Zappe is in the game, it's week 18 and nobody is playing in the game. Or Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz got hurt. And we can end any, if you got tickets to New Orleans, cancel them. Please sell your Airbnb if we see Bailey Zappe this year. Please. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well. We are happy. Now, I don't know if you are happy. I certainly hope that you are happy. I understand that it is disappointing that the Royals lost today. I'm disappointed that they lost today. They had a chance to be in first place in the division today after being 9 back just a few weeks ago. So I'm not saying today is a happy day. They lost. But I think it's all about keeping things in perspective. And when you have already clinched the season series against Cleveland and you still have 3 more games against them, one of which I feel pretty confident people are going to be at. Like, I know we were joking earlier about the attendance. I have no question about what Monday's attendance is going to look like. Now, Tuesday or Wednesday, it's a little shaky. I don't know. I don't know if y'all going out there on Tuesday or Wednesday just based on how it's gone so far this season. They're 26th in attendance. I don't know if you guys are going out there Tuesday or Wednesday. But Monday, a lot of people are going to be out there for a 3 o'clock game on a day that a majority of us don't have to work. And you should, to celebrate the Royals, who are having one of the greatest turnarounds in the history of American sports. That's what they are in the middle of doing. They won 56 games last year. They have a 90% chance of making the postseason. For those of you that gamble right now, the Royals to make the postseason are minus 400 in Vegas. You have to put up $400 to win $100 on the Royals making the postseason. Vegas is telling you that them making the postseason heading into September is a sure thing. I don't know if we couldn't say that in four. We've only been able to say that one time in our whole life, that going into September, it feels like the Royals are a sure thing to make the postseason. We certainly did not feel that way in August of 2014, that they were a sure thing to make the postseason. So I am happy. Rob, I'm guessing you're happy. Just got married recently, came back home from Jamaica. The Royals are playing great baseball. I love when they play great baseball during our time slot. Man, I love it. I love when they play compelling games during that time. A little Monday doubleheader, oh, it's great. A little Wednesday controversy, I love it. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, what's your favorite thing about the Royal season that we care about them? That's my favorite part. There are very few individual people that benefit from the Royals being good more than me. I love when they're good. It's great. I'm a big fan of when they're good. I'm the biggest fan, actually. They emailed me yesterday about playoff tickets. Me and Rob already starting to figure it out. Oh, hey, you want me? Sure, of course we do. What kind of question is that? We want the Crown Club ones. We want to be sitting next to Tech Nine during the playoff games. How do we do that? I'm about to make a sequel, Blue Kingdom. That's what I'm about to do. Text line 913-586-795. C-Dot, I would like to get your thoughts on the Chiefs. All right, I will give you at most 3 minutes on the Chiefs. I don't have much more today. I usually would. I don't today. Let's talk about some RJ Perine. This is Jerick McKinnon. That's what it is. There's reasons to be excited about that. Last year, Samaje Perine had 50 catches for 455 yards. He has shown an ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's not going to be in every down, or he's not your running back number two, not based on what he's been in his career. I mean, the last four seasons for Samaje Perine, he has had 300 yards, 246 yards, 349, and 238. That sounds a lot like Jerick McKinnon. But he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He was a guy who just got cut from an NFL team. He is a guy who will now have played on his third NFL team in his last three seasons. So I'm not telling you to be super excited about Samaje Perine. There's no reason to be that. But if you wanted to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire off the team, which I imagine a lot of you did, this is their answer. We know that Carson Steele's making this team. We obviously know Isaiah Pacheco is making the team. I guess they could keep both Steele and they could keep Samaje Perine. I probably wouldn't do both and keep Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Someone got to be the odd man out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be the odd man out for me. We've got a guy that we think is a more explosive runner in Carson Steele, and we got a guy who we think can catch the ball a little bit better out of the backfield. I mean, business is business. I wish you nothing but the best. We've helped you get a couple of championships. We paid you millions of dollars. We're certainly willing to do more to help you with any issues you are having off the field. But this is we got to field the best 53-man roster possible. I think it is very obvious, based on the moves over the course of the last 3 days, that the Chiefs were a little bit unhappy about the talent at the bottom of their roster. They've added, what, five players over the course of the last couple of days? They've added Samaje Perine. They picked up Bailey Zappe. They got the tight end from the Cowboys. I think they picked up another corner earlier today from Tennessee. So we knew going into St. Joe, there were probably 45 spots on this team that were locks, right? Maybe like 43. 43 out of the 53 guys we knew. And there were 10 spots that were up for grabs. We now know that a majority of the people that filled those bottom 10 spots, they didn't think were in the camp. That's why you go get a Juju Smith-Schuster. That's why you go pick up a Samaje Perine. That's why you go pick up. We're trying to win three Super Bowls in a row. This ain't about feelings. Kadarius Toney, you got to go. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, thank you. We appreciate you. We need to do something different. You guys, before this run started, Rob, you remember, people wanted them to be more like the Patriots. This is the kind of stuff the Patriots used to do. It's not about sentiment or, no. We love you. Great guy. We're trying to build the best possible roster possible. And it is clear that once they went through camp and they looked at the waiver pool and they saw an ability to improve the bottom 10 players on their roster, and that's exactly what they've done. On Bailey Zappe, I have far less on him than I have with Samaje Perine. It is a fine move. Bailey Zappe, I think, could start for you in a pinch, but he is their third-string quarterback. If Bailey Zappe is in the game, it is in week 18 because they have everything clinched or something catastrophic has happened with Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz. Something catastrophic has happened. Those are the only two scenarios in which we should see Bailey Zappe. They have everything clinched. It's a week 17 game against, well, they got Denver at the end of the season of the Chargers, some team in the division. I'm sure it is. I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but I know it's a team in the division. That game means nothing to the Chiefs because they have everything clinched and they can't help themselves anymore. Pat's on the sideline in his ball cap. Travis is following Taylor around. That Eras tour has been going on for 2 years now. I don't know how many eras she has, but she still has more. She has more tours to go. Travis, you can go. And then Bailey Zappe gets to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Is there anything else, Rob, you would like to chime in on before we get back to the Royals? That's all the Chiefs thoughts I have for today. I will have more tomorrow. That is all I have for right now.
I agree with your Chiefs thoughts, but I kept waiting for it. I kept sitting back here thinking to myself, man, in that 3 minutes he's talking about Samaje Perine, he's got to at some point mention, hey, Rob, you were 100% correct about Samaje Perine and the running back. And I would like to apply to have my role as running back czar on this show reinstated, because yet again Rob was right about running back.
You're right, 100%.
You and the text line got all giddy and hot and bothered about Carson Steele in the preseason, telling me like I think he runs like Kareem Hunt.
I didn't say Stop that. It. Don't put that. No, don't put that evil on me, line. Ricky Bobby.
That was the text line. Text line definitely
thank
said
you.
That.
I didn't say that.
Text line was hot to trot for Carson Steele. You were telling me how there's always a star that's undrafted becomes a guy, and what I said. Keep an eye on the veteran market. Keep an eye on, I think I even used the name, Samaje Perine. And look what happened. Samaje Perine is probably your second running back, your third down back, whatever have you. You're right. He's Jerick McKinnon.
I don't think this guy's your second running back.
But the Chiefs really don't trust Carson Steele if they're bringing that guy in off the scrap heap.
Yeah,
and they're carrying four running backs now.
I don't want to argue too much about it because I think you and I agree that Perine's just probably cooked at this point. I just don't think he's running back number two. I don't think
he
is.
Did you have McKinnon in 2022 at running back two? Like, that's kind of, he's not going to come in to run the football. But
no, they're going to throw it to him.
But he's going to get more snaps than Carson Steele. When we get into our snap count game, which is about 2 weeks away.
It's coming.
It's what makes this show great, snap count reading. But when we get into our snap count game, I promise there's going to be more Perine on the field than Carson Steele.
I actually don't disagree with you there. My point on Steele has been if an injury happens with Steele or with Pacheco, who gets the bulk of the carries in the next game? So if you were telling me that there is less of a need for Carson Steele because they're going to give Isaiah Pacheco 12 to 14 touches, I will certainly listen to you in that scenario. And then they're going to run it once or twice with Perine, and they're going to throw it to him 2 to 3 times out of the backfield. Sure. I don't want to spend too much time arguing about a guy who you and I think at most touches the ball 45 times this season, 50 times this season.
I just want to point out, when it
You're
comes
right.
to running back,
I will give you that. You were 100% right.
Running back is my lane. I hate that position, but it makes me right. Remember when people got hot and bothered about Le'Veon Bell, and I said, he sucks? Turns out he sucked.
No, he was not good.
Remember when some people on this show were telling me, Ronald Jones, get on the wagon? And I said, no, he sucks.
That was a personal shot at me, and there was no reason to do that. I haven't taken any shots at you. There was no reason to do that. 913-586-7965. We will get back to the Kansas City Royals. Again, I don't have any more Chiefs thoughts for today. If that is what you are expecting from now until the end of the day, come back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. Let's talk about the Royals. The Royals certainly deserve it with what they have accomplished. The Royals were 9 games back. I mean, there was a time there the Royals were looking... I was looking kind of shaky there for a while. You remember, Rob, I had made the point it wasn't that long ago that the Royals had not beat a good team in a series in probably 2 months. Oddly enough, the last good team that they beat in a series was the team that they just beat. The Royals had a tough time closing out series, had a tough time winning 2 of 3, had a tough time standing up against some of the heavyweights in the league. I don't know if this series potentially answers that question, but the thing I want people to keep in mind the most, at least for right now, we can deal with the Yankees when the Yankees get here, and not just in the regular season. I know they play them coming up in a couple of weeks, but we can deal with, are you better than the Yankees in October? You know, that's a really good situation. For example, I want Missouri to make the playoffs. You know what I'll worry about Oregon? If they make the playoffs. And if Missouri makes the playoffs and gets eliminated by Oregon, it was a great season. It really was. I don't care where they lose to them at. They could lose to them in the Cotton Bowl. They could lose to them in Eugene. If they get to that point, hey, hats off to you guys. If that's the way that this season ends, that the Royals lose 4-2 in a series to the Yankees, okay. You just had that one coming, probably. It is not about the Yankees. I do not care about the Yankees anymore. I don't care about Boston at this point. I don't care about the Orioles. I care about two teams. I care about Minnesota. I care about Cleveland. That's it. None of the other teams matter to me right now. I'm not worried about the wild card anymore. And I know that sounds weird coming from me because I was preaching the wild card for about 6 weeks there. But if you currently look at the wild card standings, and it's been a while since I've done it, the Royals have a 6-game advantage over Boston. 6. And they have a 2-game advantage over Minnesota, and they play them next weekend. They can put Boston in their rearview mirror. They could put Minnesota in their rearview mirror, where we don't need to have the are they going to be a wild card team conversation anymore. The conversation is about one thing, where they stand currently in the division, and they are 1 game back of the division. And if you are on the camp of, well, the Royals can't beat any of the good teams, I would like to point out that the Royals have 1 fewer loss than Cleveland, they have 2 fewer losses than Baltimore, and 3 fewer losses than the Yankees. Can you imagine if I told you that sentence? Even 8 weeks ago, if I had told you that. There's 3 teams better than them in the American League. It's the 3 teams that have been better than them basically the entire season. Like, they have never passed Cleveland. They have a chance to, but they have never passed them. Next week is their chance. Cleveland comes to Kansas City. If Cleveland goes back or wherever they're going after leaving here on Wednesday with it, I don't know if they're winning the division. Your chance to strike probably happens in the next 7 days. If you can split the series against Houston, who is, I think, actually the favorite or should be the favorite in the American League, if you can split that and if you can go 4-3 in your next 7 games, that probably either Cleveland goes home and it's tied or you are potentially 1 game up on Cleveland by the time football starts here in Kansas City.
I think when you look at the Royals' schedule, we talked about the two types of fans start the show today. I think the pessimists are, they only have one thing to hold on to. The Royals have the most difficult schedule from now to the end of the season. That's just a fact. It's a fact of life. They have the most difficult schedule. But the Royals are doing a good job in the early going of that schedule, navigating it. And within them navigating that schedule, they have 2 massive series. You're right. I don't want to discount the fact they go to New York and playing a New York team in New York. It's gonna matter.
100%.
If it's a Tuesday game and if they lose and it's a dramatic loss like today was, we will talk about it the ensuing day. I'm not trying to diminish that Yankee series. But if you can just, you know, was it tread water, stay 500, whatever terminology you want to use against the Astros, against the Yankees. I know the Braves are still on the schedule. If you can do that against those teams and you win series against Cleveland and Minnesota, then you could win the AL Central and you could be hosting playoff games. It's that simple at this point. Being a game back in the race, every game matters, but division games hyper matter. And you, over this week, won the tiebreak against Cleveland, so you feel like you're in a good spot if you continue to beat them down. If you end the season tie with them, guess what? You're AL Central champs, and for some reason, Minnesota's been a thorn in your side. They're starting to fade a little bit. Keep losing teams losing, like Denny Matthews always says next week. And if you go 4-2 in that Minnesota and Cleveland stretch, you're probably hanging a banner or a pennant or whatever they do at Kauffman Stadium saying AL Central champs. It's really that simple.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, you said 6 weeks ago that the Royals didn't have a chance of winning the division. We should call you C-Dot. I'm more than happy to tell you that I was wrong. I just looked it up here while you were talking, Rob. Exactly 1 month ago, the Royals were they were 6.5 games back in the division. They have made up 5.5 games in 1 month. In 1 month. That's a game a week. That's incredible. The Royals have really turned things around in the second half of the season. The Royals have flaws. I'm not here to tell you that the Royals are a perfect team. I'm not here to tell you that. Someone said, C-Dot, you make it like them making the postseason is a foregone conclusion. I am not telling you that. I'm telling you that we are at the point with the Royals that if the Royals miss the postseason, it is an historic collapse. That's what it is. They have a six-game lead with less than 30 games to go in the season. If they outright miss the postseason, it has gone terrible for them in the final month of the season. The same way that it has been miraculous they have made up this much ground in a short period of time, it will be the exact opposite end. The Royals have a realistic chance of being the number one wild card team at this point. They're only 2.5 games back of the number one wild card team. They're 2 games up on Minnesota, and they play that team, and they are 6 games up on Boston. So, you're right. The Royals could absolutely still miss the postseason. They would have to have a really, really bad month. And Boston, like, you kind of are what you are at this point. We've played, 130 baseball games? Boston is 4 games over 500, while the Royals are 16 games over 500. The Royals are better than Boston. Like, that's not an arguable point to me anymore. It felt like they were neck and neck for a long period of the season. You know, they say it's a marathon, not a sprint. I mean, over the course of the marathon, the Royals, they've continued to run at a pretty brisk pace. Boston got back in it a little bit and has really started to slow down. I mean, they're 4 games back of the third wild card spot now at this point. Like, they got to really do some work to really make it realistic for them down the stretch. So we'll obviously see what happens. Outside of that, there really is no other argument. The Tigers are not making the postseason. The Mariners are not making the postseason. It is, at least in the wild card, is down to 3 teams for 2 spots, and the Royals have a 6-game advantage in that department. It is exactly where you want to be, at least in the wild card picture. Let's take a couple of phone calls before we take a break here. 913-586-7965. Daniel, you called into the drive. Hey, Daniel, how you doing today, my man?
Good. Hey, I got 2 points about why Royals fans should be optimistic today, even after today's loss. The Royals are going to lose games. It's statistically certain that every major league team from here to October is going to lose games. Some of them are going to hurt. Today's hurt. I mean, they were winning. But we lost one. It's going to happen. The second point that I think for the Royals is they are in their own driver's seat. If we can go out and win series or split series the rest of this year, we're probably going to be hanging that banner, AL Central champs.
Daniel, I 100% agree, man. I appreciate the phone call. I mean, that part, I mean, the Royals over the next, 11 games? Over the next 11 games, they play 7 of those games against the 2 teams that they need to be better than, against the Guardians and the Twins. You don't have to win the series against Houston. You really don't have to win the series. Just split the series. If you win the series, obviously, great. Houston, I would argue, is just better than the Royals. Just history, track record. I know that the Royals have a better record than Houston. Houston is not the team that I would want to play in the postseason. They feel like a team that is just starting to figure things out at the right time. I don't want to call them the Chiefs, but they've been to, 7 straight ALCS? They won 3 World Series during that stretch. I wouldn't really want anything to do with Houston at this part of the season when it feels like they really start to get going. Just split this series against Houston. Leave Houston no better or no worse. And come back to Kansas City with a 1-game deficit with 3 games, your final 3 games against the Guardians. So that's why today, at least why it's hard for me to get kind of all up in arms about it, is the 1 game that you lost today, you have one more chance to get it back against Cleveland next week. Win the series against Cleveland. It's that simple. I don't care how you do it. win the game, win the series against Cleveland, and you make up the loss for today. Let's take one more phone call before the break. Caleb called into the drive. Hey, Caleb, how you doing today, my man?
What's up, man? See, I appreciate you taking my call, man.
Yeah, of course.
One thing I really want to say is I commend, like, that chick that you get a pizza to. I don't remember her name, but, like, I love her answer. She said it right. But, like, to add to her, like, anybody else that talks down on the Royals, man, it's like they're a bunch of Karens. And I hate to say that, you know what I'm saying, but, like, it's a bunch of Karens. From what we went through for the past 10 years, from the last time we won a championship till last season, and what they're doing now, everybody should be proud of this, of our boys. Everybody should be proud of them 100%. Even if they do, just because they lost yesterday don't mean nothing. Just because of what they made it and where they're at now, what they've done, they came back from, you said, 9 losses, I think it was, to tying in first place. At the end of the day, like, we should all be proud of it. And I hate hearing people want to talk about anything about, oh, they lost this game, I'm disappointed, whatever. Stop all that. If you're a true fan of them, just be proud and be happy with your boards and what they've actually done this season and this far and how far they've came and the moves and changes that the team and the GMs and everybody has made. We got here from last year. Let's go, Worlds, and I'm proud of whatever they do. I'm proud of just making it this far from last year. So that's all I got to say, man. It's just everybody's Karens, man, and I'm tired of hearing all that. Let's go, Worlds, and I'm proud of my boards.
No problem, Caleb, and I appreciate the phone call. So the Guardians, that was a little bit ago, and the Royals have obviously made up the ground. I mean, the Guardians had a 9-game lead in the division. They had a 9-game lead on the division on June 25th. June 25th. So in 2 months, the Royals have made up 8 games. Somebody made this analogy to me, and I don't want to take credit for it. I can't remember who it was, but somebody made this analogy, and I had not thought about it. Cleveland is a lot like the Eagles were. You remember how the Eagles got off to a really good start last year in the first half of the season, and then it became pretty apparent that they were leaking oil down the stretch. I don't know how you can watch these two teams over the course of the last 3 weeks. Let's pick a decent sample size. I don't know how you can watch Cleveland and consider them to be the favorite. I know they are winning right now, but the Royals have straight up played them head-to-head. They have been better than them so far, and you are looking at a team that has just played really, really poorly in this second half of the season. They had a miserable August. The Guardians had a stretch in which they lost 8 consecutive games from August 3rd until the 10th. And then they followed that up. Part 2, the sequel. I mean, they have now lost 9 of 12. I mean, they have had a disastrous, where the Royals have had their best series, their biggest series win since 2015. Like, if you were looking at the two side by side here, and who do you think is going to play their best baseball down the final 30 games of the season? I don't know how you can consider that team to be Cleveland right now. The Royals should be the favorite in the American League Central. I know that's not what Vegas has right now. Vegas has Cleveland as a slight favorite. I told you guys yesterday when I went on Vern's show, if you plan on making a Royals bet between now and the end of the season, the one bet you need to make right now is the Royals to win the division. You can get it at 2-1 odds. You can triple your money. Put $20 down. If you got $20 to spend, don't get that double meat steak burrito from Chipotle. Skip that today and put that on the Royals. And in 1 month, you could triple your money. If all they have to do is be 1 game better than Cleveland in the final 30 games of the season. 1 game. That's it. If they finish tied, the Royals will win the American League Central. Based on how the Royals have played and how Cleveland has played, I think the Royals can finish 1 game better than Cleveland over the rest of this season. Nothing else matters at this point, especially when you got that team coming to Kansas City next week. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I really think that this is the best way to maybe describe the game today. The reason why it's difficult for me to be upset about today is it's just timing. If the Royals had simply split the doubleheader on Monday and then won the final two games of the series, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Like, we just wouldn't be having it. We're only having it is because this show is directly after the loss. They had a great chance to sweep this series. Like, I don't want to sweep that under the rug that there was an opportunity today for the Royals to take the lead in the American League Central and they did not do it. Like, that is a factual statement. And if you are disappointed by that, I understand in that regard. There was a prime spot for the Royals. They had a lead heading into the bottom of the seventh, which, Rob, just continues to be a theme. They had a comfortable lead late into the game, and their Achilles heel bit them. I don't say this to be negative at all, so I hope you guys don't take it that way. We watch enough sports that you can usually tell why a team will either win or be eliminated, right? Rob, you're a KU basketball fan. There have been years where KU didn't have that prototypical year, but if you could see KU making a run, you could see how. Well, you know, DeJuan Harris does this and Hunter Dickinson does that. I mean, hey, they got a great coach. They could make a run. But you've also realized, there's some things I don't like about this KU team that could be their Achilles heel and why Evan Mobley and USC gives them a really tough time. In this series, you saw exactly why the Royals could get hot at the right time again and make the World Series. You get great starting pitching. Your bullpen is hot for just long enough in a short series, and anything can happen. Bobby Witt Jr. is incredible. Salvi is incredible. You get a couple of good quality starts, and baseball happens. That's all it is short series. We put more emphasis on it, obviously, because it's the postseason, but your best-of-five series, if you were playing a best-of-five series against Cleveland, you would have won it and advanced. You would advance to the next round of the postseason. So in this series, they've shown you. We all know, if the Royals lose and they don't make the World Series or they lose in the ALDS, we all know the why, the how. Today, their bullpen. It's game two. The Royals are down 1-0 in the series. They're up 4-2 heading into the bottom of the eighth, and their bullpen happens. So I guess at least for me, nothing happened today that is outside of what I think we already knew about the Royals. And I think the last time that the Royals were good and we had these conversations, what their weakness is wasn't the weakness of the last team. The 2015 Royals would not have lost today. The 2014 Royals would not have lost today. Those two teams 100% win. Even if
You have Holland, who's unable to go. You got enough other arms and pieces. Herrera can come in, and then Davis can give you a four inning. So you had other options of figuring it out. Today, it's obvious what the manager thought. My bullpen's a little limited today because I've used them a lot over the course of the last couple of days. I'm going to try to see if I can stretch Waka for one more inning. It was going poorly. They took him out. And they took in, if I asked you right now, who is the bullpen reliever that you trust the most? You say Lucas Urseg. They put him in the game. It didn't work today. I don't fault the process of it. They made the right decision. Sometimes you get stopped. Sometimes the Chiefs go for it on fourth and two and it doesn't work. Sometimes you make the right decision to, and it just, you don't execute it. I don't fault the Royals for what they did today on both sides. And if I did, I certainly would tell you guys. I understand why they put Waka back out there for the seventh. I understand why when trouble happened, they were pretty quick with the hook and put Urseg in, and Urseg didn't have it today. But there is no relief pitcher that they have that I would want to help you sweep the Cleveland Guardians than the one that they put out there. It just didn't happen for them today.
I saw this text earlier during Vern's postgame show, and I think it's 100% spot on about what happened today at the Royals game. And listen, I'm not trying to dismiss losing. Losing stinks, especially when you got 28 to go. The games all feel like they're under a microscope. I understand people who feel that way. But this texter made this point, and I think it's correct, and I apologize for not being able to see the texter. It felt like Matt Quatrero and the Royals were, they knew they had won the series today, and it was just they were playing the long game. Hey, we have a bunch of bullpen arms not available today. Schreiber's not available today. Bubich more than likely wasn't available today. They were trying to hold Daniel Lynch back if they could. They had brought a guy up who hadn't pitched in the big leagues in a long time. I don't know if you want to use him in that moment.
Yep.
It felt like, hey, we're playing the long game because we have another seven games after today without an off day. We have to think about the seven more than just today. And they stretched Michael Waka, probably a hitter, two hitters, maybe three hitters too far. But you know what? That happens. You trust your second best pitcher in the staff to go get an extra couple outs. It didn't work. You lose because of it. But you know what? Tomorrow, you have all your bullpen arms basically back and available at your disposal. Any player, Urseg included in that bullpen that you think, oh, that's a guy I feel comfortable going to, is available tomorrow. They tried to squeak one out with their B team, basically, and they couldn't get it done. But you know what? They won the first three. Trying to squeak out a fourth is a fine spot to be.
I also think where I think you can give the Royals a lot of grace in this scenario is the scenario that they were in today would never happen in the postseason. There is not a scenario in which you're playing four games in 3 days in the postseason. So if that was a postseason game, I don't think Waka goes back out there for the seventh inning. They have more of a bullpen. They have more of a life vest to get them out of the scenario. So that wasn't an indicative situation of what I think is going to happen at the end of the season. I think it was a very unique circumstances where this wasn't supposed to be a four-game series. It was because a game got rained out earlier, so you ended up having a doubleheader and ended up kind of throwing things a little bit out of whack. And
you also had the injury last night. Your starter went two innings. I mean, those things are things you don't anticipate, and they still got the first three. They just had to – they were leaning at the finish line, and they got caught. Like that. Like remember in the Olympics, who was Noah Lyles caught up to that guy? They were leaning at the tape and they got caught. It happens, but they still won. They still won the medal.
100%. No, I agree. No, I don't have anything to add to that. You're 100% right. I 100% agree with you. Baseball happened today. It was just a matter of circumstances. I'm not even worried about it at this point. The Royals, they have an opportunity to get this game back. Like if you are mad about today, they play Cleveland. They have one more series against Cleveland. Win that series. Simple. Win the series. If you win the series next week against Cleveland, today's result does not matter. It matters if you lose the series next week, and now you drop two games to them, and you fall. Win the series next week at home. If you do that, you got a bye week on Thursday next week, so you don't have another. It's crunch time. You got four against Houston. You got Cleveland coming into town. It's go time over the next 7 days. The Chiefs will get a bye to watch football the way that the rest of us will. And then next weekend, you got Minnesota in here for a three-game set. So today was not a setback really in any capacity to me for the Royals. Sure, they didn't overtake the Cleveland Guardians. They made up 5.5 games in 30 days against that team. Now you have to make up one in the next 30 days. That is a very manageable task if you are the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Missouri Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, you used to love Linkin Park when you were a kid, didn't you?
I mean, who didn't love Linkin Park?
You didn't think I knew that? Who that was?
Did you know it because of a sampling from Jay-Z, or did you know it because Linkin Park?
I knew both.
There you go.
I mean, I used to watch TRL. We got that channel, too. I used to watch a little TRL back in the day. I used to keep up with it. Hey, don't try to question me. Rob, I am excited tomorrow to talk a lot of college football with you as the season gets kicked off. Missouri plays tomorrow. KU plays tomorrow. So excited for that. I believe you are going to the KU game. I mean, anytime you get a chance to go to KU in Lindenwood, you got to go out there. It's at Sporting Park. It's going to be great. Luther Burden, I'm sure he's going to, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns tomorrow, just light work. That's what I'm expecting.
Is he going to play enough to get to 100 yards? Like, I don't mean that as a negative. Like, tomorrow, both local schools should have any player you know by name iced down at halftime.
Yeah, I actually kind of made a mental note that if I'm still watching Missouri at 9 o'clock, something went wrong. Like, I want all of my focus to be on Colorado at that point. And if it's not on Colorado, then again, something has gone wrong for Missouri in a lot of different ways. An injury has happened or their defense is bad. It's one of the two. It is one of the two.
To be fair, I have the same energy. I have literally told people, I'm like, if I'm still here at halftime and I'm not in the car home, we have a problem.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, you ain't never listened to 98.9 a day in your life. Get out of here. I wasn't talking. I was talking about TRL, but it's okay. I get it. They used to play that kind of music on TRL. It's a very popular television show on MTV with Carson Daly. It was a video countdown show. I'm from the era where you remember. You probably didn't flip back and forth between TRL and 106 and Park, but I did. I watched both.
I kind of just stuck in the one lane.
Yeah, no, I didn't. You didn't seem like you were switching over to hear Ginuwine so anxious over on BET. It didn't seem like that was maybe your cup of tea.
There were times where Ginuwine's music came over to TRL.
Sometimes it would cross over, yeah. Normally, once it crossed over to that point, I don't want to hear the song anymore. Once they started playing on MTV, it was done. It was
so. Is that where the genesis of your "It's Time to Go" song playlist is built? 100%. Is that why you hate Return of the Mac? It started here and pivoted to here. Like, all right, it's over.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah. Well, once you make the Power and Light playlist, you're done. To me, you're done. Once you become on the Westport playlist, like once you're playing at Harpo's peak hours, That's not a song I'm listening to anymore in my free time. Like, I know when the DJ plays, it's time for me to get up. It's time for me to go. It's time for me to get up. Once Pony comes on, man. Hey, Rob, you going to call the Uber, man? Let's go ahead and get out of here, man. Let's go ahead and get
what
it
gets
going.
You out of a bar faster, that or, and I can attest to this, when they're like, hey, it's karaoke time.
I'm not going to the bar where I even think there's a possibility that karaoke can happen. If I think there is a chance that karaoke can break out, I'm not in attendance. Actually, you know what? I went one time. I went to, Off Key down in Westport? I went to Off Key one time. It was okay. It was fine. I mean, it's not really my thing. Like, why did I come here to hear you sing Drake? That's not why I came to this establishment. I did not come to hear you sing Christina Aguilera. That is not why I'm in attendance at your establishment. So that's not really my thing, but hey, everybody likes different stuff. Are you a karaoke guy?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Someone said, C-Dot, you would like Sum 41 and Yellow Card. No. Only yellow card I know is at Sporting. That's the only yellow card I know. Is that the current? I don't know. I couldn't name a yellow card song.
No Ocean Avenue for you?
No. I was not shopping at Hot Topic.
You never went through a skater phase?
I did actually learn how to skateboard. If you remember on Tony Hawk, they had the one black dude, Kareem Campbell.
You remember his name?
Yeah. That's the one you had to pick. Of course. I've only had one person to pick. You would get him. Like, oh, he was cool. Yeah, so I wasn't dressing like that, but I did want to learn how to skateboard because of Tony Hawk Pro Skater. What a simple time in life. What a game. What a time. These young kids today, they don't know how great we had it with Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
They're playing Fortnite. They know nothing about painting the colors red and blue to win the skate park.
No, they don't. They don't know anything about it.
What was it, the snowboard game? SX Tricky.
Yeah.
That was another classic.
You know what this this just popped in my head. Do you think there's more people at the KU game tomorrow or the Royals game on Wednesday?
I know KU is sold out. So that's 18-5. Do you think the Royals get to 18?
I don't know. That's why I asked.
It's first place on the line against the Guardians, but it's the night before the Chiefs.
That's what I'm saying.
I would take,
because we agree, KU, and I think they're going to have more than 18 there.
Yeah.
There's going to be some SROs.
Yeah.
They're going to end up getting like 19. Are there going to be more people at KU Lindenwood than will be at the Royals game on Wednesday?
The answer is
because Monday they are going to do well. Mm-hmm. They're going to get 30,000 people out there. Labor Day, the weather should be good. They play at 3:00, so you can go out there. You still got time to barbecue with your family. You can get the kids to bed in time. People will be out there Monday. I think people are out there on Tuesday, too, with the dollar hot dogs. I don't know about Wednesday.
The answer should be the Royals, but I think the answer is KU.
Someone said, CDOT, did you ever go to Orlando's in Olathe back in the day? I actually did go to Orlando's. I think I went maybe 2 times. I was in college when I went there. I didn't go in high school. I don't even know if they let you in when you were in high school. I did go 2 times when I was in college, though. That was a good bridge where, you guys know, when you were in college, you could go out, but then when you came back home, like, what do you do?
I couldn't go out anymore.
I don't know what to do. I don't have anything to do. You know, in college, you know, even in college, even when you're 17, you're like, you're really 22 in college. But then you come home, you're reminded, oh, I'm still 17. I can't do anything. Did you ever go to Orlando's?
I did not.
Not surprised that wasn't a long-standing business model. Hey, we're going to have a club. We're not going to make any money off alcohol.
Yeah.
And the most we can charge is $10 a person, and our liability is going to be through the roof. I'm not surprised that wasn't a long-standing business model.
There was a time, I think my freshman or sophomore, I wasn't 21 yet, and some friends were like, let's go. It's like the bars in Lawrence. I'm like, there's one major difference between the bars in Lawrence and Orlando's.
What was the difference?
The idea I had worked in Lawrence. The idea I had did not work in Orlando's.
Oh, all right. Tomorrow we will be back. We got 4 hours tomorrow, right? I'm excited for tomorrow. Hopefully you guys are excited tomorrow. We got college football. We got Royals. NFL's a week away. It's The Drive.
The Drive. In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.